J.D. Warnock, Eric Moline, Andy Morton, a.k.a. Team Westerberg High, who will be appearing on VH1's World Series of Pop Culture. Thank you very much for joining us here at Lawrence.com.
Thanks for having us, Gavin.
All right, we'll dig in to the motivation behind Team Westerberg High. What drives a man to go on a nationally televised trivia game show and actually compete for the prestigious title of most socially retarded?
This was all Eric's idea, for sure.
Blame it on me.
Blame it on Eric. Yeah. Deflect to you.
I'll tell you what, when you watch those the game shows on TV and you sit there and you just baffle at how idiotic the contestants are and you're just like, oh my God, how did they not know that? That's pretty much what happened to me last season when I watched the World Series of Pop Culture. And immediately, like, I knew right away that I was going to try out for this show and that Andy and JD would be on my team. And I told them, I said, we're going to be doing this next time it comes around. I'm signed up on the mailing list, so expect a call from me very soon when I find out about the auditions. And that's exactly what we did.
Andy and JD, were you on board immediately, or did it take some dragooning?
I don't remember really having any choice in the matter. Yeah, JD true. And Eric came out to SmackDown probably in August, yeah. And that was when Eric informed me that I was going to be on his team to try out for the show.
Yep.
I make it a habit, actually, of not arguing with Eric when he wants to get me in really good trouble. So it's happened many times. There was the fake book incident and the scene stealers incident, and now this. All of those incidents really are his fault. But
although technically,
just in trouble nonetheless.
Yeah, you got me into the Cheap Trick tribute band. That was all your idea. So
yeah, well,
there you go.
Which explains perhaps the font on your team uniform.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice.
I read your journal.
Oh, okay.
The one that you keep locked under your pillow.
Exactly.
What else do you keep under your pillow?
Teeth.
Ooh.
Something of variable speed. The ads featuring you guys are already up and running online and televisually. How much shit have you guys received from your friends and family?
I haven't. It's been really cool because ours turned out almost exactly how we wanted it to. Not in that we were thinking, wow, we're going to script this and make it really funny, but we knew that the things that they wanted us to say were pretty cheesy, and so right away we kind of talked about how we were going to play it off. If you know Andy, you know that he's not really someone that's usually banging his fists together and talking about how he's going to smack somebody down. So
yeah, we didn't write the script. Let's make this very clear. We didn't write one word, I think, that showed up in that.
No.
And did you guys have any input in the making of the ad? Because they also had the sort of Kansas hick imagery of like the wheat and the farm posts and everything. Was that part of the cultivated image that you guys wanted to project, or was that all the producers?
It was clear from the audition process and testing process that they were definitely interested in the Kansas aspect. At this time, we have no idea how they're going to play it up. But you know, as for the commercial, like I said, they gave us the script, and the only control we had over it was how we're going to read these lines, and we took great care to not give them any
straight any readings,
any frat boy chest pounding El Duchery footage to use. It was like they like us because we're smart asses, so that's what we're going to give them.
We saved all the chest pounding for the hotel room later.
And the guy who was running the shoot for the commercials, he kept saying, "Well, can you try it another way? Can you stand there and can you guys look a little tougher?" And we just flat out said, "No."
And I noticed that, however, they did seem to emphasize the fact that you were doing a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, because they kept all of you cracking up at the end of the reading.
That's part of the control thing. When it came out that I was going to have to read this retarded SmackDown line, I turned to them. I said, as soon as I say this, make sure, you know, I mean, turn to each other and laugh or turn away, like, so that it's clear we have nothing to do with this. This is not our fault.
Yeah.
They were saying
that was
lines.
our way of putting a punchline onto it, because we thought the script was pretty bad. And they did tell us we could rewrite it, but then they also said, but we're filming right now. So
We were standing on a green screen too, so we had no. We were completely, you know. I mean, since the possibilities were endless about where we could end up while saying these lines that we were totally not approving of, it was all about trying to make sure whatever we put out there was going to at least turn out in a way that would be funny
to us.
To us, you know, we would at least be able to read
and
the irony.
At least the people who know you would realize that. You're doing it with a bit of smartassery.
I hope all of America realizes that I don't usually flip my eyebrows and tell people I'm sweet as pie. Hopefully I did that over the top enough to let
you
them
say
know.
That, you say that now, but I've seen you order drinks like that like twice in the last week.
Your Harbor Lights face.
Yes.
Most people's only experience with Kansas is Wizard of Oz, so they might think that everybody talks like Dorothy.
And, you know, they tried to do those kind of things in the interview. They tried to steer us in those kind of directions. And
talk about tornadoes!
Yeah, and hopefully we steered away from all that. We'll see what they actually use. But, you know, we were in there for like 20 minutes, so and they're probably going to use 30 seconds of it.
And how many teams were there competing?
16.
16?
Sweet 16.
I imagine they're a bit punch drunk by the end of that. But let's talk about the sort of the screening process, how you got onto the show. You drove down to Austin, right?
Yes.
For basically a standardized test to see if you had what it took, if you had the chops. But from what I understand, the test was a bit of a ball buster. When you got there and you saw the caliber of questions, did you start doubting your own nerd cred at that point?
Immediately. First question. I know, obviously, I can't tell you what the question was, but I looked at the first question. I was like, we are in way over our heads.
Andy and I actually had a very similar reaction when the test was over. We kind of turned at each other and we were like, ugh. But then we turned around. Yeah.
Well, we're in Austin. Yeah. I guess we'll go find something to do.
And then we turned around to JD.
Not moving on with this.
JD's got this huge grin on his face. And we're just like, really? And he's like, oh, yeah.
It's like, did you get a different test?
So were you guys all in the same room while you were testing? Was it like open cattle call sort of thing?
There were hundreds of people going at a time every hour for 2 days straight, basically.
Really?
So there was, I think they said it was...
Yeah, it was probably about 100 at a time.
Yeah, and it was about 2,000 people total just in Austin. Wow. So,
was it just a big gymnasium or...
Hotel.
Hotel?
Yeah, hotel. We spent a lot of time at the hotel bar.
And other bars.
Lubricating your memory.
Well, because when you get the call, they're like, okay, you guys passed the test, you did your interview, you know, we have a whole nother thing going on tomorrow and we're going to call you back later. And we're like, oh, okay, so this is why we didn't book plane tickets home, because we didn't know when we were leaving.
Right.
We could have left the next day if we wouldn't have made it past that. So we just hung out in Austin the entire next day.
It was entirely possible we could have stayed in Austin for a grand total of about 6 hours.
Yeah, which almost everybody else did, and they were pissed. There were people coming out. Remember that guy in the bathroom?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There was a guy that his team didn't pass, and we were waiting to do the next part of the process. I went into the bathroom, and he came in, and he was slamming the doors on the bathroom stalls, and he shouts... Well, I guess I can go back to wait,
my
how do
crappy life.
Now I guess I can go back to my crappy life.
Oh man,
and, dreams, you know, dash.
And I'm standing there. Right, this is the first thing that happens after we get out of the room. So I mean, I'm feeling pretty good. It's like we just passed the test, and this guy, you know, is the first person you encounter. It's like, oh shit!
Did that only serve to boost your own self esteem when you saw so many people falling by the wayside?
No, I was just glad that I wasn't on his team.
Ah, yeah, very good. And so you wouldn't have to also return to his crappy life.
I have my own to run. Thank you.
So you found out immediately after you took the test that you passed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you ever find out exactly what your score was?
Nope.
So you're always be wondering.
Well, I'm not sure we can talk about this part.
That. Yeah, they're not
I'm not sure
talk
we can
about
talk
that.
About this.
They just made it really clear, VH1 did, that they were not going to reveal what the score was that was needed or what anybody got.
Okay.
They don't want people going, ooh, I need this much to win. Okay. You can't try and go in there and, you know, try to beat the system because you don't know what to expect. So,
okay, so you did find out you passed immediately after taking it, or soon thereafter taking it. And then you didn't find out if you made the final cut for the show for a while. Is that right?
2 weeks?
Yeah, it's like 2.5 weeks, I think.
Bump my mic.
We could edit it out in post, don't worry.
Yeah.
But,
post.
Don't you like how they always say that on the show?
You put dragon sounds in during post?
Lots of farting sounds and crying babies.
Pterodactyls fighting.
But talk about those 2 weeks after you came back from Austin. Was the tension unbearable carrying around with you, not knowing?
Well, we had a pretty good idea that we at least we made an impression on him.
Right.
We didn't win.
Not to sound cocky or anything.
Yeah, I mean they liked us, yeah. And you could tell that. And we left. We got second place down in Austin, and on the way home, I mean we had a good feeling. But then you have to sit there for it was like 2 or 3 weeks,
yeah.
And just wait.
And you just self-doubt yourself the whole time. Like, the whole ride home, we're convincing ourselves, oh, they're going to call us. They'd be fools not to call us. Who wouldn't call us? Right?
And then you get home. What did I say? Yeah.
And then you get home, and you wake up in the morning, and you're just like, man, I can't believe we got second. We're one away from, we're not going to New York because we got second. One question. You know, we're just like, oh. And then the next day, you're like, God. If I was a TV producer, I would put us on the show.
Right. It was incredible. It was incredibly unceremonious.
You humble
too.
Farm boys from Kansas.
Yeah. It was incredibly unceremonious too, because I mean we've gone through this whole process and it's just anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. I mean you're just constantly like more and more and more like building up to this thing, and then literally the whole process ends and we are in my car on 35 back home inside of like 10 minutes. I mean it's just like wham. You know? I mean it was pretty.
It was weird because it was a complete adrenaline rush when you're actually playing the game and you're moving up and you come so close and all of a sudden you know you're just, well you're in second, you're not guaranteed in. We'll be in touch. Bye.
Yeah, they literally
and,
just
and then it's JD's like get in the car,
parting gift basket or anything. Hey, no Rice-A-Roni runners
no,
up.
No, I thought they'd at least go okay. So we'll call you if whatever, and it was just like you're gone, and that was it. And they were worried about the team that won, and so we just. Left. And like JD said, we got in the car and then we second-guessed ourselves for 12 hours all the way home.
Yeah, it was about 11 and a half hours of sheer torture.
Were you all picking at each other? It's like, man, if you hadn't have said that, if you hadn't have said that.
JD did most of that for us. So we didn't have to.
Abusing himself.
Yeah.
Okay. Self-abuse, it's a terrible problem. And I know you can't talk about specifics, but I gather that it wasn't just your raw trivia skills that they take into account in the final team selections. They also look for teams of stories and teams of personalities for that final lineup.
Right.
I would assume so, because everyone we met was
really
definitely
cool.
Definitely a character.
Was a card.
Yeah.
But we felt really good because we felt like we had that part down. So when we displayed enough, you know, cheesy personality when we were playing the game, even we were trying to joke around, you know. Yeah. And so the fact that we came in second, it was like, you know, we're right there with the trivia, and then we're right here with the personality. So we were just crossing our fingers. And there were only two teams picked from Austin, and it was us and Mother Boy. So
where was Mother Boy from?
Mother Boy,
they were from Austin.
Walked down the street and kicked our ass.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the time we were on the outside the city limits of Austin on our way out, they were probably at home drinking margaritas.
not a care in the world. Hey, whatever. We just had a day's activity. But okay, you made it past the first hurdle. You're on the show and you taped in New York. Total of 4 days, is that right? You're in New York? Did you spend that entire time just taping? Or did you get a chance to enjoy the city while you're there? Or did you just spend your spare time drilling with flashcards for contestants on Dancing with the Stars or something?
All of the above.
We did all of that. It was painful. I don't know that I could do it again. I mean, I would love to. I mean, it was because we had so much fun, but we were doing so much because I had never been to New York. So everybody's like, well, you got to see this and this and this and this. But we also had to take care of the stuff, you know, they wanted to do for the show and be ready for everything and study. And it was just a whirlwind. I mean, it was almost overwhelming, the whole process once we got up there.
And how exactly do you study for a trivia competition? I mean, it's not like you can, you know, go to Kaplan and just, you know, you practice for, you know, the World Series of Pop Culture. How do you study for a trivia show?
It's a pretty abstract question. I mean, I got the impression that I think, you know, it's all about how individual, you know, the same way that you study for anything. You know, you kind of have to figure out how studying works for you and then try and approach it. But there was no method to the madness, really.
We just basically had to try to each figure out what we didn't know. You know, it's like there's so many areas that we're all really good at, which is why we all passed the test. But then there's also these glaring, wide open spots. You know, if they're going to ask me about Beyonce, they're not going to get the right answer. You know what I mean?
So, or is anyone on the team a Beyonce specialist?
I don't think so.
Not anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to just like try to figure out what your weakness is and then, you know, fill that up. At the same time, there's the strategy that, you know, you're only going to send up the person who's right for the category when you're playing. But then there are times when the person who's right for that category may not be available, A, because they just played, or B, they've been eliminated. So strategy kind of, you know, you just have to basically fill your head up with everything. And I transcribed the entire season one.
And made all the questions,
all the questions and answers. Yeah. And then passed them out to the guys and said, what are they going to ask this year?
Types of questions.
Yeah. These are, they're not going to use these, so let's make up some like these. You know?
Well, essentially write another show. You know, I mean, yeah. if you were the writer for the show and you were going to write questions based on kind of what the strategy was last year, we're just kind of trying to, you know, reimagine season two, you know, in our heads a little bit.
Did you just Google a bunch of shit, or did you just like raid a Barnes and Noble, or how exactly do you like get the resource materials for this sort of prep work?
There was certainly Googling, Wikipedia-ing, IMDb-ing.
Yep.
I mean, everything. I mean, anything you could think of.
Box office mojoing.
Yeah.
We love the web.
Yes. It's an invaluable tool. So that was.
And you can see some cool pictures on it.
The strangest endorsement for the internet. Well, yeah. It's an invaluable
tool. It's my favorite series of tubes. But being on camera, okay, that's preparing for the show. Does all of that fly out the window the moment you get on stage, the cameras are trained on you, and the lights start blinking in your eyes?
Andy?
I'll field this one first.
Hold on. Okay, if we're doing Andy, quick follow-up. How does it affect your memory? B, how does it affect your bladder?
Let's start with A.
Yeah.
No, I'll start with B. It affects your bladder badly because you're not sure if you have to pee or not, even though you may have just done it. You know, especially from hosting one-on-one, it happens all the time. You see people freeze up. As soon as the lights come on, they lose it. And I'm not at all comfortable in front of the camera, but I can deal with it. But my experience with it was is when I went up for the first question, the lights come on, and I'm starting to flip out. I mean, the brain's shutting down. They ask the question, and you'll be able to see it. My eyes start moving around, and I look through the bottom of the stage, and the hole where the microphone's coming through.
Yeah.
And I look through it, and I can see a light, and I'm actually thinking, I wonder if there's a little man down there making the microphone go up and down. And then I realize that I'm thinking this, and I'm ignoring the question. And I was like, oh, well, quit looking down. That's not good TV. So I look up. And the whole time you're going, why am I here? And then you hear America screaming at you,
yes,
from their living rooms, just like we do when we watch Wheel of Fortune or Deal or No Deal.
Or people at home are watching One-on-One on Channel 6. So you have a unique perspective on this sort of thing. You have a little bit of experience with this, but JD and Eric, how did you guys physically and mentally react to being on camera?
Yeah, you know, Eric and I do Scene Stealers movie review show, and so we're on camera enough that it was kind of, for me, I was hoping that was going to kind of help me a little bit, just, you know, the experience on camera. And honestly, it didn't affect the decibel level of the sound of, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, there was just like everything that I had ever thought in my life just zapped out in one split second, and it was just a loud buzzing sound in my ear.
It was the true deafening silence.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I haven't heard this in a long time.
It's absolutely freaky. It's a totally once in a lifetime experience to have that. The first time you step up to that situation, it is just wow.
It also doesn't help things that the host of the show, Pat Kiernan, doesn't meet the contestants before the show begins.
Right.
They keep him from us. We've been in contestant isolation this whole time, and he is at the other end of
yeah, he's
the
like
theater.
Kind of in the audience yeah. asking the questions.
And you see him, he's like this little blip, and you put the face from TV on that face, and you know you're talking to Pat, and you hear the voice, but it was really hard to hear him. And not just because the level was low, but also my brain was processing things a little differently. So instead of actually hearing a question, it was like Val Kilmer, Top Gun, Tom Cruise, Snowball. could you repeat the question, please, Pat?
Like Mad Libs?
Yeah, and it was like fill in the blanks, you know. And also, when you're on Andy's show, on One-on-One Trivia, they have a handy little monitor that puts up the question for you so you can read it. No monitor at the World Series of Pop Culture.
Really? You just have to pay attention mm-hmm. to what you're being asked from Pat Kiernan.
Well, especially that at the very beginning too, it's a lot like the Peanuts mom, you know, where it's just yeah. But eventually, you know, like you, it's like
you
like
start
a,
to narrow in on what just happened after it happened.
You come around,
yeah,
you, right.
You start
right.
to you start to relax,
and you get
relax
used to it a little bit.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. 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 I was gonna ask.
I wouldn't
you
get say
accustomed
get used
to, yes.
to it, but you,
you
can
adapt
start
to it.
Processing yeah. what's happening. But like kind of what Eric was saying, you know, that not only do you not meet Pat. Before the game starts, the night before we got to see the set, but we never stood on stage. So when it airs, the first moment you see us step on stage, that's the first time we've stepped on stage, and you're looking at all these bizarre dance lights and stuff and going, oh, what am I doing here?
But speaking of, you didn't get a chance to interact much with Pat Kiernan, and then aside from him
just
hosting
the show.
Just
on the show, yeah.
So you don't know if he's actually a condescending dick or if he just plays one on TV?
I think he's hilarious. He's definitely my favorite game show host because, you know, he's allowed to get...
Go fuck yourself.
All right. Besides Andy Morton. Lawrence's beloved Andy Morton.
No nepotism here.
Yeah. No, I mean...
I'm hoping Andy takes over...
Company excluded.
I'm hoping Andy takes over Price is Right, personally.
Yeah. So you can chase the hostesses around the studio.
All I want is the mountain climbing game. I don't know if that is a full half-hour show.
And he wants to neuter some dogs. That's all he wants, man.
But they, you know, Pat was – he was really funny. And honestly, they spend as much time, you know, yucking it up with people as they do with the questions. So especially this year, it seemed like a lot of the personalities were bigger. So I think they're maybe – I don't know how it's going to be edited, but it seems like they were concentrating, you know, a lot on that as well. So
do they still have their trivia bunny this year, Lisa Guerrero?
No.
Oh,
fact.
They lost the trivia yeah, bunny?
She's been replaced by a triumvirate of attractive ladies.
She wasn't woman enough.
She wasn't.
They just spread the duties to three
exactly.
different spokesmodels.
Exactly.
Because it was so taxing.
Yep.
okay, so that was your interaction with the hosts. What about the other teams? Were you guys just locked in the green room with them until it was your turn?
Yep.
And how did that go? I mean, was there a lot of trash talking behind the scenes, or did you get along with the other teams?
No, for the most part, everybody got along. I mean, I think everybody made friends with one another. You know, for a while, it was just kind of this weird, okay, I'll talk to you because we're all locked inside of this weird situation that we can't comprehend.
But we were in there for hours.
Yeah, so. We were in there a long time doing nothing but talking and eating sandwiches and drinking soda and water. And this
which does not help with the bladder problem.
It does not help with the bladder problem. But after a while, you kind of start to get to know people. And just when you find a team that you're getting along with, they yank them out of the room to go play their game. So it starts kind of that, and then there were two.
But I read that you did encounter a team who spoke only in trivia.
Yes.
Now he's trying to get us to talk trash.
Yep.
Oh, no. I'm just, you know, the other different colorful personalities that you ran into and perhaps the other dicks that you ran into.
Well, have you ever been in a room with improv comedy guys
where
everybody in the room's trying to be funny?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was a period of time in the process where everybody was like trying to out-reference the next person. It was a little bit of that like Top Gun action where you're like trying to, you know, size up Iceman and see if he's really got the chops. But that didn't really last very long. So
except for this one team did it for days. For days.
Are you willing to name the team?
No.
Oh, I named them already. It's the Twisted Misters.
The Twisted Misters.
I named
Misters.
It in my article.
Yep. Well, hopefully they do, as you reference, morph into the villain of the series. And they get theirs. but we'll kind of, in closing now, we'll get, what was the most memorable moment or the most bizarre, surreal experience that you had during this whole World Series of pop culture experience? We'll start with you, Andy. Like, what sticks out in your mind most from the past few months having to deal with this phenomenon?
Total overload.
Yeah, I
had a couple. I had a couple weird dizzy spells. Like, I mean, it got to be almost too much. There was too much going on, and you know, your adrenaline is going full force for hours on end. So that was kind of the most surreal thing, because all of a sudden I just feel like I was walking completely sideways. But probably my favorite thing out of the whole New York thing was the night that we finished shooting, a majority of the teams all went out together and wound up at a at a Korean karaoke bar.
Ah!
And I think that the night ended somewhere around 5 o'clock. Oh, yeah, some people.
Yeah.
It did not actually end.
No. So we had to be in the lobby for our flight at 6:30 the next morning. And I remember going back to the hotel around 5:15 thinking, well, I'll get a little rest.
Did anybody actually go on camera hungover?
Oh, boy. We didn't.
Were we actually pretty disciplined as a team?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it was discipline so much as adrenaline. I think I could probably have had a case of beer to myself and still been pretty steady. Because
totally.
You're just, the adrenaline's insane.
It really is. I mean, they put us through, you know, the makeup chair. That's one thing they do to get you ready. And as soon as you're caked with makeup and you come out and you look at your buddies. And,
and yeah. I have Gandalf nose.
Yeah, he totally
is. I had Gandalf nose where the hue of my nose was remarkably different from the rest of my face. So I was like, do I have Gandalf nose? Because it looked like the sort of shadowy, like light filter kind of Ian McKellen thing.
That's when you realize you're about to be on TV, when your friends start looking freakish up close.
Yeah, you're everybody's orange.
Yeah.
Like they just got back from Miracle Tan. Yeah. But JD, what's the one moment, incident that sticks out that you'll take with you to your grave from this experience?
Well, man, you know, I wish I had some really great, like, zinger kind of thing, honestly.
No, just like,
but
overriding impression.
You know, the thing that blew me away and continues to be kind of the coolest thing about this whole thing was that I really anticipated it was going to be an experience where all the teams just were all attitude and everybody, you know what I mean? And instead of having some, like, real world, you know, road rules drama, we ended up, like, with a bunch of people who were all really, really kick-ass. And by the end of it, everybody was like, I wish we had three or four more days in New York just to hang out with these people, because we had a blast. We ended up in that karaoke bar was completely insane. It was a total, you know, like, it was on the second floor of some New York building, and you felt like when you walked in, you were like, oh, we are walking into like the Joe Pesci gets shot in the basement scene of Goodfellas. Like, something is wrong, you know? And we ended up upstairs, and I was, you know, anytime I'm singing karaoke, things have gone completely off the rails. So it was a blast. I had a really good time, so. Yeah. I wish I had, you know, like some serious dirt, but we just had a good...
No, that's the sort of emotional uplift.
Yeah, there you go.
the emotional closure. Well, unless Eric can just bring everything crashing down.
Well, and it's cool because talking about the teams, I mean, we made friends with them, and everybody's keeping in contact for the most part.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so we have a message board.
You're getting like-minded people from all over
it's
the
insane.
Country in
yeah.
the same room. I mean, anybody who cares this deeply about trivia has to have similar backgrounds and similar, you know, likes and dislikes. So,
when you thought it would be a bunch of
it's
people...
Like it's like a Match.com for nerds.
I was going to say, so it goes without saying that we're all internet friends.
Right. But no, you'd think it would be a bunch of, you know, like hammer-swinging trivia geeks out to, like, out-trivia each other. Yeah. But it turns out that everybody was actually way more... just kind of low key about it. Now, I mean, everybody knows their stuff. So you kind of like I said, it was that initially it was everybody's trying to like outdo everybody. And then once everybody figured out that everybody in the room is incredibly nerdy and knows all they need to know to win, you know what I mean? Anybody in, I think that they got cast, you know, they, everybody had skills. And so once that was sort of out of the way, it was just like, ah, screw this. Let's not be fussy. Let's just have a good time. And it was really, you know,
and it's like Band of Brothers too. You're all in the trenches. You're all shell shocked from the experience. So it makes sense. Eric? Bring us home.
All right. I don't know if this is the greatest story ever, but and I'm going to have to be careful about the way I word it, but before we went on stage, we're standing there, and there's this crowd out there, and the announcer, and they're pumping the crowd up, and they're getting ready, and you can hear the camera guys and everything getting ready, and you walk up there, and like me, I was just adrenaline pumping, so I'm jumping up and down. I'm ready to go. I'm excited about being on camera. I'm kind of a ham, you know, and so I'm ready to go, and then I turn around, and I see another team who's leaving, and we had just made friends with that team in the back room, you know, and what I came to find out later is that the team that we saw, the team that you would see if you were about to go on stage, was a team that had just lost. And I didn't know that at the time. And so I'm all excited, and I'm jumping up and down, and I'm like, ready to go, ready to go, yeah, yeah. And I'm probably pounding my chest a little bit. And then I turn around, and I see them, and I'm like, hey, guys! And then I'm like, oh,
they tried to get
shit.
High fives. All right, motherfucker, yeah,
and they just
look
like someone.
And they're walking to the gallows.
Totally, and I was just like, ugh, sorry. Who's selfish? Anyone? Anyone?
It's a competition.
Yeah, it was a competition.
There can
so,
be only one.
Yeah, and then when we ran out on stage and they introduced us and everything, we actually had Megan and Amanda, some people from Kansas, that were there, and they'd made signs for us.
Yeah.
So we walked up on stage, and it said, surrender to Westerberg High right there. And so that was also a really great moment. That was fun.
You had trivia groupies.
Exactly. And why not?
Fantastic. All right, or Eric Moline, J.D. Warnock, Andy Morton, also known as Team Westerberg High, who will be appearing on VH1's World Series of Pop Culture. When is that air again?
July 9th. Monday, July 9th is when it starts. We
and
still
it
don't
runs
know
for the week.
When we're
going to
be
right?
on. Last year, it ran for 5 days during the first week, and then they followed it for the following 3 weeks once a week.
Once a week.
So.
Yeah.
But we don't really know yet. So, but you should tune into the whole thing because it's going to be awesome.
Guys, thank you very much. You've done Kansas and Lawrence specifically proud on a national stage.
Yes.
Is this the part of the interview where we say word?
Say it.
Word.
Teenage suicide.
Talk to it.
Teenage suicide. She blew it. Teenage suicide.
Talk to it.
Teenage suicide. Drugs and alcohol don't mix.
No shit.
Your lily white is so